Good morning. Welcome, everyone. This morning, we are continuing to wrestle with making sure we do basic government responsibility, which is keeping the government open and making sure that we can pay our bills. We are also, while we are all shocked and horrified at the loss of life at the Navy shooting, and we are all sending, of course, strength and prayers to the many families whose lives have changed forever as a result of this violence, we are continuing to work on something that we've been at now for some years, and that is getting at the contracting of background checks. It is ironic that a year ago we referred to the Inspector General of the Department of Defense a whistleblower complaint about access to Navy facilities by contractors. The report was a preliminary copy of the report that we had asked for was delivered to our office on the same day of the shooting. That report reveals significant systemic problems with contractor background checks for access to Navy facilities. We will be working with the Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, the Admiral that is over the Navy, and looking at the way they have been determining contractor access and get this fixed. We cannot prevent every incident of violence. We cannot stop people who are mentally ill, who believe killing a lot of people is somehow their calling. But we can make sure the system works, and clearly this system is broken. In an effort to make contractor access easier, shortcuts were taken that are dangerous. So we will focus on this as we have contracting on security at our embassies and other critical points in our government that need an extra layer of protection. And I am happy to answer any questions that you have this morning.
Senator, there seems to be an implication in your concerns about access by contractors that all of these people have some kind of mental problems and you can screen them to keep them from coming through the door. I mean, what screening would have kept this person out? Legitimate contractor.
I'm not sure that a screening would have kept him out, although he had a number of intersections with police over the inappropriate use of gun violence. Shooting through his ceiling, shooting at car tires. One would hope that a background check would catch that. But the report that was delivered to our office a few days ago shows that felons were being admitted to Navy facilities, including a child molester in a facility where there was a daycare center. So this problem goes beyond just the shocking reality of the man that committed this horrific crime. It goes to a system that is focused on a goal of clearing people so they can have access and not on the goal of aggressive screening of those that are working for the government in a private contract capacity.
You talked about this in terms of the Navy, but is this also the case with other military bases, Army, Air Force, Coast Guard?
We are looking at all of those as we speak. We were already very involved in looking at contracting for background checks because of the Edward Snowden situation. As you may recall, my subcommittee had a hearing on the contracting around security clearances for people who would be dealing with classified information. And we determined that the group that had been contracted to do the Snowden background check, in fact, was under criminal investigation for fraudulently processing background checks. So this is a whole area. This is a good example of where the government wants something done. They want it done quickly. There's a backlog. You hire contractors, and the contractors put pressure on the people that work there to produce product in a very aggressive way based on the contract terms that probably were unrealistic in the first place. Anybody else?
Well, nobody else is going to chime in. I'm going to ask you if we're going to have a government shutdown the 1st of October.
I believe I was just over for our delegation meeting. We try to meet as a delegation with some frequency and had an opportunity to visit with my Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives. They were on their way to a meeting to determine what Speaker Boehner's plan was for votes to fund the government. I think most of them realize that the Senate is not going to defund Obamacare, that the American people had an opportunity to vote and not only reelected the president, but added Democrats to the Senate last year, that it is completely unrealistic that that would ever occur. But there is a group of people in the House of Representatives that are determined to stake all of their service in government around the health care bill and are perfectly content to see government shut down and see us go into a market tailspin, and which could extend globally over not paying our bills as a government. I think they will pass something that includes defunding Obamacare. They will send it over to us, and we will strip that part out and send it back. And then they'll have a very difficult decision to make. For the purpose of scoring political points, are they willing to throw our economy under the bus? And more importantly, the American people under the bus, because the pain of an economy that heads the other way is real pain felt by those that lose jobs, those who don't get pay increases, and another slowdown in our economy that has real human consequences. Well, this goes to show you that I skip a week. People aren't as curious as I thought they'd be. I will not use this as an excuse to skip more weeks, though. I do make that pledge. If anybody else has anything, I'm happy to address it.
Well, what did you learn while you were skipping a week and, I assume, associating with your people in the district?
Well, when I was home over the August recess, I heard more often than anything else compromise. I don't think some of my friends on both ends of the ideological spectrum understand how frustrated most Missourians are about our inability to come to the table of compromise and do what government has always done in America, and that is figure out a way to somehow give up some of the things in order to function. And I was, most Missourians are not sure who's to blame, and therefore we're all to blame. And they're frustrated with that. So I hope as we address the requirement that we pay our bills and the requirement that government continue functioning, that we don't get stuck in what appears to be almost a new fad, and that is there are some that believe, and I will say this is primarily the Tea Party, that it is more important to stand on the principle. It reminds me a little bit of what's going on in Missouri, where in the name of making a political point, being sure everybody understands how much they hate Obamacare, the Missouri legislature is willing to leave $1.8 billion on the table that would have a wonderful impact on the people that they work for. And the consequences of leaving that money on the table, the Medicaid expansion, is going to be serious, significant, and severe, particularly in rural areas. But, as I have said, joking, I think it'd be fine if they want to expand Medicare and call it the I Hate Obamacare Medicaid expansion, that would be fine with me. Or any other way they want to characterize it. in order to make sure that they don't let anybody think for a minute they like Obamacare. But this notion of being worried about a primary over whether or not you truly hate Obamacare, getting in the way of real services to Missouri and taking Missouri's tax dollars and sending them to other states. It's very similar. That kind of rigid ideology that's going on in Jefferson City is the same kind of thing we're seeing by a vocal and powerful minority within the House Republican caucus. And there's a few in the Senate Republican caucus, but the majority of the Republicans in the Senate, I believe, will compromise and move forward. And not that they will go along with everything that some of my liberal Democrats want, which, of course, I'm not suggesting they should. But they do understand our basic obligation to keep the government open and pay our bills.
Of course, the people you've been talking to are urging compromise. They seem to have a funny way of expressing it at the ballot box.
Well, if you think about it, not necessarily. I think that in many of the legislative seats, the districts have are very red, and so those state reps are worried about primaries. They're not worried about general elections. But if you look statewide, almost every Democrat on the ballot statewide won. So that tells you that overall in Missouri, Missourians want moderation and they want compromise. In individual districts that have been drawn in a way that really favors one over the other, less so, one party over the other party, when a district is bright blue or bright red. But I do think there will be consequences at the ballot box if the Republicans allow the government to be shut down and refuse to pay our bills and there is economic pain that results to the American people. I think there will be a consequence at the ballot box. I think that's what John Boehner and Mitch McConnell are very, very worried about. Okay. Great
nice
talking to you, Bob.
Okay.
See you later.